Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, February 26th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the House and Senate are set to vote on the deal to delay Governor Dayton's raises. The House is ready to move on limiting teacher tenure and will target raise pay for its workers. Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach says he and Governor Mark Dayton had a private chat where the Capitol's two most powerful Democrats committed to moving on after a public feud. Bach and Dayton spoke at the governor's residence Wednesday, where they and other legislative Democrats were gathered for a meeting. They hadn't talked in the nearly 2 weeks since Dayton lashed out at Bach as untrustworthy for moving to squelch commissioner pay raises. Bach has called it a miscommunication. Well, that rapprochement means legislation that delays Governor Dayton's raises for commissioners until July 1st is ready for final action. House and Senate negotiators resolved the differences between their bills last night, and both bodies are scheduled to vote today on the conference committee report. The measure will give Dayton a one-day window to reinstate the raises before that authority shifts back to the legislature on July 2nd. Republican House Ways and Means Chair Jim Knobloch of St. Cloud says he'll wait and see what the governor decides to do.
I wouldn't automatically assume that the governor is going to give everyone the same raises on July 1st. And I guess in some cases, if this becomes law and the governor has that authority, I would encourage him to carefully consider just what those salaries should be, as I'm sure he will.
The pay raise provisions are part of a broader bill that solves some short-term budget problems at three state departments and the Minnesota Zoo. The State House is set to take action today on legislation that would change teacher tenure protections. Tim Pugmire reports.
The Republican-backed bill would require public school districts to negotiate local policies for layoffs that emphasize teacher performance over seniority. It would end the practice known as last in, first out. Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd said the bill would help ensure that every student gets a world-class education.
Teacher tenure reform is not going to solve every problem for every school. It's one thing that will move things in the direction of making sure that we have the best teachers in front of students.
Many Democrats opposed the bill. DFL Governor Mark Dayton vetoed a similar GOP measure in 2012. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
American Indian leaders want Minnesota lawmakers to boost funding for the state's tribal schools. Tim Post has the story.
The plea for support comes after a Minnesota Department of Education working group recommended more support for schools serving the state's 20,000 Native American students. Rocky Papasadora, the chairperson for the Buganagashig School on the Leech Lake Reservation, says lawmakers should supplement the federal funds going to Minnesota's four tribal schools. Per-pupil funding from the federal government amounts to $5,000 a year, half of what other Minnesota school districts receive from the state.
If these dollars are secured through legislation, it will lead the way for a just and equitable education for all Minnesota students.
Equalizing funding for Minnesota's tribal schools would cost the state about $2.5 million a year. Tim Post, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A Minnesota House panel has advanced legislation to allow for limited research of industrial hemp farming. Members of the House Agriculture Policy Committee approved a measure yesterday on a voice vote. A provision in last year's federal farm bill opened the door for such research. Under the House proposal, state agriculture officials could establish a pilot project to study the growth, cultivation, and marketing of hemp. The bill's chief sponsor, Republican Representative Mary Franson of Alexandria, said the versatile crop is too often maligned.
Hemp is not marijuana. Hemp cannot get you high. While they are the same species of plant, Cannabis sativa, they have vastly different uses, cultivators, and compositions, and should be considered differently, much like sweet corn and field corn.
A Senate committee approved its version of the bill earlier this month. More than a year and a half after a landslide killed two fourth graders on a fossil hunting field trip in St. Paul, the city announced plans yesterday to reopen a small portion of the park where it happened. Curtis Gilbert has the story.
The city plans to reopen the mile-long Brickyard Trail at Lilydale Regional Park by this summer and allow school groups to use one of the park's four fossil sites in the fall. But even with nearly $500,000 worth of planned safety enhancements, much of the park's brickyards, including the site of the landslide, will remain closed indefinitely. Parks Director Mike Hom says making those areas safe enough to reopen would be difficult.
The cost would be significant. We haven't studied it. The second, it would look a lot different than it looks right now. It would cease to look like a natural condition at that point.
In addition to adding fences to keep people out of dangerous areas, the city also plans to add signs that include coordinates to help first responders locate people in the park during emergencies. Curtis Gilbert, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
Income inequality, pay, and the economy are big political issues. Announcements of pay raises at Walmart and other retailers have raised the question of whether Target will follow suit. As Matt Sepik reports, company executives had no news on that front yesterday when discussing their latest financial results.
For years, Walmart has drawn the ire of unions and other workers' rights groups on the issue of wages. But last week, the nation's largest retailer, which is also the country's biggest private employer, said its lowest paid workers would see their pay bumped up to at least $9 an hour by April. They'll get another dollar an hour on top of that by early next year. This week, the parent company of TJ Maxx and Marshall said it would do the same. The raises come amid a nationwide drop in unemployment and other positive economic indicators that have yet to result in broad-based wage growth. Target, however, isn't budging. In a conference call with investors yesterday, Chief Financial Officer John Mulligan would not say what the company pays its workers, but he says competitors' decisions won't change anything.
We're all the time assessing the marketplace to determine competitive wages and making adjustments. And we feel very confident that we'll be paying the teams appropriately.
Mulligan says all Target employees are paid more than the minimum wage. Zeynep Tun, a professor at the MIT Sloan School of Management, cautions companies against treating worker pay as just another expense to be held in check.
When companies see labor as just a cost to be minimized, what ends up happening is that they find themselves in a vicious cycle.
Tun says low pay often means unhappy and unmotivated workers, poor customer service, and lousy sales. She studied four retailers, Costco, Trader Joe's, Quick Trip, and a Spanish grocery chain, and found that higher pay and a more engaged workforce resulted in stronger sales figures. Costco, for example, has much tighter profit margins than Target, but its sales and stock performance dwarfs Target's. Tun stresses the success of those retailers is not solely the result of greater compensation. She says those companies also train their workers well and have highly efficient operations that make the most of employees' time and skills. She says the raises at Walmart are a step in the right direction and the company will likely get its money's worth.
A company like Walmart will combine that investment with some smart choices that enable their employees to be more productive. And when Walmart does something, oftentimes others tend to follow.
Financial news reports took note of Target's stance in the face of two big competitors hiking wages, and speculation abounds about whether Target will be forced to fall in line. Dave Brennan, co-director of the Institute for Retailing at the University of St. Thomas, says a tighter labor market and higher wages at competitors may force Target's hand.
If you look at companies like Costco as an example, you look at Chipotle, you look at Starbucks, and you look at Whole Foods, they pay their people pretty well. And I think there is going to be an increasing pressure for retailers in particular to increase the minimum wage.
With a crippling data breach in 2013 and the company's disastrous expansion into Canada, Target executives have vowed to cut costs across the company. But there's been no indication whether a new round of layoffs is in the offing. The company says more details on cost-cutting will come next week. University of Minnesota finance expert John Reich says investors will be especially interested in Target's strategy for growth. And he says company executives need to use a scalpel and not a chainsaw when it comes to cutting costs.
By and large, investors are pretty sophisticated and they know that there's only so much that you can cut. After a while, you're cutting expenses that are actually necessary to generate your revenues. Once you get to that level, if you keep cutting expenses, then people are going to start forecasting lower sales as well as lower expenses.
A clearer picture of Target's plans for employees could emerge next Tuesday at the company's meeting with analysts. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.